Thank you. Good evening, and welcome to our service of worship this evening as we come in praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. And welcome to all who are gathered here with us in presence this evening and all who join us virtually online. It is our pleasure to welcome you to St. John's Presbyterian Church for this service of Holy Communion on Maundy Thursday. It is a service of communion, so for those joining us online, if you would like to avail yourselves of grape juice or during COVID, we always said apple juice was a fine substitute if you were out of grape juice or wine, and so you're welcome to gather elements of bread and wine and join with us in the celebration of communion. Tomorrow morning, we will gather at 10 a.m. for our Good Friday service. As we enter this evening, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his path. The call to worship for this evening is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this evening. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy.
Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live.
The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me.
Then I call on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me.
You, Lord, have delivered me from death. My eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling.
That I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
What shall I return to the Lord for all God's goodness to me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
God has indeed heard our cries and sent his servant Son, our Savior, whose final hours amongst his friends we commemorate this night. We will once again be witnesses to the gifts Jesus gave to his disciples before he left them, his modeled servanthood, and his precious body and blood. In the retelling of these familiar words and deeds, we will join the disciples in receiving Jesus' gifts to the church. Now receive this greeting from our Lord. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. As we gather and worship this evening, let us begin in praise as we sing hymn 224, An Upper Room Did the Lord Prepare. Hymn 224.
Oh,
Please be seated. Now the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter, therefore, motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish," Jesus said. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are about to do." So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. As we gather this night, mindful of the sins of our world, we come this evening with the prayer of confession, and the words to this prayer will appear on the screen. Like Judas, we have felt the influence of evil in our lives. We have opened ourselves to Satan's manipulations. We have been instruments of betrayal for our Lord. Our Christ, O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us and grant us your peace. Amen. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Thanks be to God. Amen." Jesus, to whom the Father granted authority over all people, came among us and used that authority on our behalf to ensure our eternal salvation. Now, along with his disciples, we hear that first invitation to the table of grace, as it is recorded in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew writes, "While they were eating, Jesus took the loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body.' Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.'" With joy and thanksgiving, we respond to Jesus' invitation as we join in the hymn, "As He Gathered at His Table." This hymn will appear before you all on the screen, and the choir will note we are singing selected verses of this hymn.
Thank you.
Please be seated. And let us come before God in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, this is your feast, prepared by your longing, spread at your command, attended at your invitation, blessed by your own word, distributed by your own hand. The undying memorial of your sacrifice upon the cross, the full gift of your everlasting love and its perpetuation until the end of time. Lord, this is bread of heaven, bread of life, that whose eating ensures we shall never go hungry. And this is the cup of pardon, healing, gladness, and strength, that whoever might drink of it shall never thirst again. Fit us to come to your table, O Lord, and in so doing, may you come to us. Lord Christ, we recall at this time how you met with your disciples in the upper room and hallowed bread and wine as the memorials of your body and blood. We thank you for this sacrament of our redemption and for all that it reveals to us of your love. And we pray that whenever we meet at your table, to obey your command to do this in remembrance of me, that we may know your risen presence in our midst and feed upon you, the true bread from heaven, until we come to your everlasting kingdom. We pray all these things, now in and through your blessed name, now and forevermore. Amen. As on that night that Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, so this night we eat of this, his body.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. In the same manner, Christ took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Blood of Christ shed for you. Drink you all of it. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." Let us pray. Like the disciples reclining at the table in the upper room, we too, O Lord, have been fed. Now, in the growing darkness, our Lord gets up from the table. He has things to teach us before his final suffering. Give us, O God, ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive. We pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. The gospel reading for this evening is taken from John chapter 13, reading verses 3 to 17. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from the Father and was going to the Father, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he had tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this evening is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is an awkward story. No matter where you look, there is something in this story that we read this evening from John chapter 13 that we'd rather avert our eyes from and just not see. From Peter's awkwardness as Jesus tries to wash his feet, to the panic of the disciples as they question if Jesus is speaking of them when he says that one will betray him, to Judas, who receives the morsel of bread dipped in wine and rushes out into the night. It is awkward. Because throughout the story that we've just heard, we are confronted by the vulnerability of Jesus. Jesus washes the disciples' feet, all of them, including Judas' feet. Jesus shared the Passover meal with his disciples, all of them, including Judas. And as Jesus tells them that one of them will betray him, each of them questions, "Is it I?" including Judas. Throughout this Lenten season, we have focused on the servant ministry of Jesus. Some Sundays probably more successful than others, but here tonight, as we read of this meal in the upper room, it is an unavoidable element in the service, in the story, that Jesus sets aside his robe and washes the disciples' feet. And in so doing, he completely upsets the social order. Jesus is the teacher, the master in this picture. The disciples are his followers. Were anyone to wash the feet of another in this picture, it would be one of the disciples who would wash Jesus' feet. Or perhaps a servant would serve all of them. But Jesus washes the disciples' feet and declares that it is a necessary action. Jesus' last lesson that he teaches his disciples is that love, true love, involves humility. And the disciples have been called to love one another because God is love. John, the gospel writer, tells us that this whole disordering of the societal norms made Peter uneasy, as vulnerable in receiving as Jesus was in the washing. And all along we know that Judas is there, just in the corner of our eye, perhaps, his feet wet with water too. The most startling thing in the whole story is that which the gospel writer does not write, that Jesus washes Judas' feet. In all of the drama and in all of the betrayal of this night, in this symbolic lesson about love, Jesus serves his disciples because that is what love is about. And Judas is one of them. Judas received Jesus' love too. He ate from Jesus' own hand, and then he went out to betray him. Thus beginning that string of tragic events that we shall commemorate tomorrow that we all know too well. And somewhere in the corner of the observer's eye, somewhere in the questioning of the disciples, is it I, Lord? Somewhere there, we stand too. For all of the uncertainty and all of the reality of the weight of what it means to truly follow Jesus weighs upon us as well. Can we receive the love of God in the Jesus who kneels at our feet? Or the Jesus who hangs upon the cross for our sin? Can we stand with Jesus and not feel the pull to be conformed by the structures of this world in which we live? But the truth is, sometimes it isn't up to us. Amid our strongest protests or our most timid glances as we seek to turn away, the truth is, Jesus washes all feet. Jesus cleanses us of our sin. Unless I wash you, you have no share in me. It is not ours to seek or to destroy this foot washing that we witness this evening. That is a gift from God. It is for us to respond, that we should do as Christ has done and offer humble service to a vulnerable world, and in so doing, live out the example that Jesus has given to us, and shall receive the one who sent, Jesus into the world, into our hearts, as we serve one another. Thanks be to God. Amen. Maundy Thursday is still a newish tradition for most of us in the Reformed tradition. What that means, amongst other things, is we don't know the hymns. We don't have many hymns. The hymn that we are about to sing is a new hymn, written for this evening, gift to us from the Iona community in Scotland and on their never-ending quest to provide worship materials for the 21st century church. So we sing a new hymn this evening, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Calling. As you feel comfortable as we move through the verses, you are invited to join in the singing. For those who can read music, it is on the back of your worship folder, if that is helpful to you. The one thing I can tell you that it will be helpful for me to remind myself before we sing is that second system of music. If you don't let me wash your feet, you have to hold that note on the word feet for a little while, or else you get ahead of yourself. So that is my one tip for you. As you feel comfortable in the singing of this hymn, please join. We will sing verses 1 to 3 and then verse 5. How often have we, like Peter, been tempted to pull away from the uncomfortable space and declare, no, you shall never wash my feet. But Jesus reminds us, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. Give to us your living water, and we will be clean. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, let these waters remind us of the waters of our baptisms, through which you have claimed us as your covenant people, and of your cleansing blood, which washes away our sin. Refresh our hearts and minds in the truth of your self-sacrificial love, symbolizing for us here symbolized for us here in basin, towel, and water. Amen. Jesus declares, you are clean.
Thanks be to God.
Do you understand what I have done for you? What I've done for you now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. you also should wash one another's feet.
We have been given a new commandment, love one another.
As I have loved you, so you must love one another.
And so we show we are the Lord's disciples if we love one another.
Friends, Christ commands us to love each other as he has loved us. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is my command, love one another. And now, may the God of love who showed us love strengthen us in our love for others. May Christ who shared our life grant us grace that we might share ours. And may the Holy Spirit dwelling in us empower us to be Christ's ambassadors wherever we go and to whomever we meet, this day and forevermore. Amen.